Okay, we're back. Julian Thomas is co-director of the Stonehenge Riverside Project. He was one of the scientists who recently came across the Blue Stonehenge site near the River Avon.
We went to the site initially because we were interested in the earthen avenue that connects Stonehenge with the River Avon. To our surprise, there was another ditched enclosure there. Better than that, we found the holes where a series of stones had been. Those stone holes are just the right size to contain the same sorts of bluestones that we find as one of the elements of Stonehenge itself. Apparently, the stones had been removed in prehistory.
So what is the connection, do you think, between Blue Stonehenge and Stonehenge just a mile or so down the road?
I think there's a very intimate connection because in its first phase, we think that Stonehenge had 54 of these blue stones, whereas our monument has about 24 or 25, which would be just enough to make up the number of blue stones in the final phase of Stonehenge. So we think it's very likely that what's happened is that to begin with, you've had two separate stone circles standing in this same landscape, but that at a certain point, the stones have been removed from our monument and taken to Stonehenge in order to elaborate it.
Stonehenge is one of England's most popular tourist attractions, but the kind of purpose, original purpose of Stonehenge is still something of a mystery. Is the discovery of Blue Stonehenge clearing things up about what Stonehenge originally was used for, or does it make it murkier?
I think it does make it a little clearer in that we're now starting to see Stonehenge not by just looking at the monument in isolation. So it's part of a complex. It's linked to other monuments, both conceptually and physically. And in particular, it's linked to the river. There's another avenue just upriver, which is connected to a much larger henge monument called Durrington Walls. And Durrington Walls has circles not of stone, but of timber, and has extensive evidence for feasting, burning of fires, this kind of thing. We think that people were processing from one place to another, were using a series of monuments which were very much integrated.
Let's go to the answer to our geoquiz today. One of your theories is that the massive stones used for Blue Stonehenge were dragged from something like 150 miles away. How is that possible, and where exactly was this stone quarried?
We're talking about the Preseli Hills in southwest Wales, where these very distinctive stones come from. And for a long time, there's been debate over this. Some people would say, well, these stones have only been moved by glaciers, but that seems increasingly unlikely. So I think we have to talk about communities which are very sophisticated, which are capable of mobilizing large quantities of labor and simply of dragging enormous stones over very great distances, just using ropes and lots of people.
So the Preseli Hills or Mountains of Wales, 150 miles away from Stonehenge and Blue Stonehenge, is the answer to our geoquiz today. Professor Thomas, what has fascinated you about these sites that makes it kind of your life work?
Quite literally my life's work, because I can remember being taken to Stonehenge and Avebury when I was just 4 or 5 years old. And it's an enduring mystery. It's a mystery which continues to attract me. I don't think we've got all the answers yet. And every now and then you stand up from your digging and you just think, what must it have been like? And we get glimmers. We get a sense every now and then of what it must have been like. But it's rather nice that we'll never fully unveil the mystery.
Julian Thomas, co-director of the Stonehenge Riverside Project. Professor Thomas, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome. Bye then.